everyone, and welcome to episode 563 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week, kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How are you this fine Monday? Is it Tuesday where you are? I don't know. Whatever day it is where you're at, Richard. How is it going?
I come from the future again, Seth. It is Tuesday for me. I'm doing well, Seth. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing super well. I don't know about Krim, though. Krim, you were just telling us you had quite the adventure on your way home. Yeah. On your way home this morning, actually, just a few hours ago. How was your trip? How was your ride home?
I love time traveling. I had the longest Sunday of my life because mid-flight, you know, the pilot tells us from Japan on the way home that, hey, we might have an engine problem, so we need to turn around. So I'm just happy I'm back, you know? So it's one of those things.
I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you made it. So today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Modern. It was a big Modern Regional Championship weekend. I think there were four regional championships this weekend. So we're going to talk about where Modern's at. Standard, we have a new Standard format, and I got some thoughts on Standard. So we're going to dig into Standard a little bit. Then we might also hit up some Arena news, a new secret lair drop, some fish mail. So that's the overview for today. Before we get into it, though, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Card Conduit. And Card Conduit's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use your curated service via sending as many cards as you want with a buy list value of $1 or more, and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed, and you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Our show is also brought to you by Heavy Play advanced gaming equipment. Curved sleeves featured rounded corners on the bottom for improved comfort in shuffle. The sleeves are fully opaque, so you don't have to worry about double face cards, and the front interior is always black. They're available in a wide variety of colors, and you can head over to heavyplay.com/mtggoldfish or use the code mtggoldfish at checkout to save 10% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And let's talk some Magic, and let's start with Modern. So this was regional championship weekend. There was regional championship USA, one in Euro in Africa, Japan and Korea, one in Canada. So we had four big regionals. And I gotta say, I spent a lot of this weekend, as I was doing other stuff, checking in on these tournaments. And as far as diversity is concerned, Modern's in a really good spot right now. If you just look through all these top eights, there is a lot of different things going on. Richard, what happened? Quick overview. What went down at these tournaments?
Seth, I'm on my laptop. I have no additional screens to tell you.
Oh, you don't have like, you okay, yeah, I got you. Okay. I forgot about the one screen problem. So in the USA, that was the biggest of the events. Amulet Titan took down the event. Second place was this, is it Metalcraft deck, which I guess is kind of a new archetype. It's like kind of the Affinity deck, but instead of Affinity payoffs, you're playing like Riddlers and Flame of Inors and Tamiyo. So it's kind of like a mashup of like the fast mana from Metalcraft and Mox Opal with kind of like, is it mid-rangey or is it control stuff? Then we get an Affinity deck, two Boros Energy decks, an Esper Blink deck, a Domain Zoo deck, and Jeskai Ascendancy of all things, making it in the top eight. And then the other ones, basically the same. We got a Ruby Storm sneaking in over in the EU event. The Japan-Korea event was won by Jeskai Blink. Canada also won by Jeskai Blink. But really, if you look through the top eights, there are very few duplicate decks. Like, you get a couple Amulet Titans, couple Boros Energies, but a very diverse meta overall. So I gotta say, I'm really excited about the diversity of Modern, but as I was watching this tournament, I kept thinking, like, so many of these decks are essentially just trying to goldfish into kills. Like, you don't have a lot of interaction going on. Amulet Titan, the Affinity decks, even the Energy decks, like, you're kind of just trying to spew your hand and kill your opponent before they kill you. What do you guys think of where Modern's at right now? And is that an unfair characterization of Modern? Are we turning into Yu-Gi-Oh? I guess that's as I was watching the tournament, I was like, I feel like this is what Yu-Gi-Oh players tell me their game is like, that you just kind of, like, do your thing and hope that it's good enough to beat your opponent's thing. Is that where we're at in Modern?
Okay, well, first off, all right, so in Yu-Gi-Oh, you do have a lot of interaction. That is why turn one takes 40 minutes. But second off, I do think that, isn't this how it's always been? I mean, like for Modern, that is.
Tarmogoyf. No. We used to have Tarmogoyf.
Boros Energy from like literally months ago, right?
Yeah, even Boros Energy is still around.
Sure. Okay. Maybe. But like,
We used to grind them out.
The grind them out is actually longer ago than I think. I mean, Boros is actually pretty fair, but I guess I've always remember that, you know, you have Belcher, you have all these combo decks. So many, like, you've always had so many ways to die. Right? Instantly. So the fact that Boros popped off was wild to me. I did not expect that personally, but I feel like that's kind of just always been modern.
I mean, I guess that's true. This feels more extreme to me than it has been in the past, but like, what do you think, Richard? You've played a lot of modern. Is this just what modern has always been?
I played Boomer Modern, Seth. But I don't know. Like, I feel we have gotten more combo-y. But at the same time, the fact that the top eights are so diverse means it's a very diverse metagame that other formats could only wish they had, right? Imagine if Standard was like that, right? But I don't know, man. Like, Splinter Twin, it's a combo deck, but not really. You're really trying to grind them out, right? Whereas, like, Affinity, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could grind them out, but it's not the same way. Titan has a lot of weird lines to play. So maybe we're still there, but I think this is just the culmination of power creep, and we're just getting faster and faster. And I don't know, like, remember Grief Days? Like, remember Boros Energy? Like it's not that long ago where we were, like, grinding people out, like, for reals, right? But now we've just gotten, like, full combo. I'm not, like, what changed? Like, why are we full combo now? What happened to all the... Grief got banned, okay, obviously, right? But what happened to Boros Energy? Why is that not top dog?
So Boros Energy, if you look at the top 32 list, if you combine all four of the big regional championships, it was the one that got the tied with Amulet Titan for when it, putting the most players into the top eights with six total players out of the 32. So it's still like a real deck. But to answer your question, I wonder if the answer is Mox Opal. Like, I actually think that Mox Opal being unmanned is a good thing. But if you look at the meta, we have the Is It Metalcraft deck as an Opal deck. You have all these affinity decks that are super fast with Pinnacle Emissary and Mox Opal that can build a huge board, potentially getting like Kappa Cannoneer on turn two or turn one with the best draws. So you have these super fast artifact decks now. So I wonder if that's led to a meta where to keep up with the artifact decks, your choice is kind of play another deck that can win really quickly, like Ruby Storm or Amulet Titan, because I just don't see a ton of like fair decks here. I guess the fairest decks that I would see, there was one like Grixis Frog deck that managed to sneak in and got eighth in Canada. There's some of the Blink decks, I guess, are maybe the fairest, but even those decks, they're trying to like scam a Quantum Riddler, right? Like they're still trying to like turn three Quantum Riddler and blink it and keep it. So even the fair decks are like kind of doing unfair things. But that would be my guess, is this is like Mox Opal just speeding up the format, basically, would be my prediction right now. But curious, do you think that would do it? Do you think that's the answer?
But Simeon Spirit Guide is too much, guys. But we can get a free Mox every, you know, a free mana every turn. Like, obviously, you can't outfare that. You know what I mean? Like, you got to do something equally broken or go faster. So I think you are right. I think it is the Mox Opal, right? Because we went from metas where Boros Energy was insanely dominant to Rakdos being insanely dominant, and then the Opal happened. That would do it.
And now
having doubled your mana over the course of the game is like pretty good.
And just so it's clear, this isn't to say Modern's bad. It's just like a very fast combo-y format right now. My favorite part of all this, the winning deck, Boros Energy, won the EU-Africa tournament. Main deck, Boros Energy, two mana tithes. No static prisons, mana tithe in the main deck, and took it all the way to first place. So that's definitely my favorite part, seeing mana tithe actually working.
Was it real or was it for the memes? We got to know. Was it impactful?
I didn't watch much of that one. I didn't watch much of the Year of One because it was super early, but anyway, that's what's going on in Modern. Any other thoughts on the format before we move on to some Standard?
You said Affinity. Sorry, I heard Affinity and I'm just like blown away by that. And it's not like the warp blue red artifact, you know, deck. It is actual Affinity.
Oh, well, okay. So Affinity is kind of the Pinnacle Emissary Kappa canon.
Yeah.
So I guess it is kind of warp the Pinnacle Emissary. Not actually like Frogmite into Mirror Enforcer Affinity or like Arcbound Ravager Affinity. Yeah. We still just call it Affinity. Maybe there'd be a better name for it. But yeah, it is the Pinnacle Emissary.
When do we rename it, Seth? We're like so far removed from the actual deck.
Remember?
Even the last versions of Affinity weren't really Affinity decks, right? Like any artifact deck is Affinity deck.
They tried robots for a while. I remember WotC coverage trying to use robots, but it never really stuck. So yeah, I don't know. Like, what would be a better name for it? Like, I guess improvise is actually the mechanic that you have more of thanks to Kappa Cannoneer than actual Affinity. Maybe it's just a
blue red Mox Opal.
blue
red artifacts.
I guess like hold on, they have. No, I don't even feel like, is there a single Affinity card in that deck? I don't think so, right?
Thoughtcast.
Okay.
Thoughtcast still shows up, but that's about it, yeah. It is cool to see weapons manufacturing popping off. That's like such a cool card. That's one of my favorite cards from Edge of Eternities. And it's cool to see it being like kind of a real thing. Every deck is like an aggro deck and a combo deck now. So you're like, there's Affinity deck or whatever you want to call it, the artifact deck. But you also just have the possibility of like, oh, I made a bunch of weapons manufacturing tokens. And then I blow them all up with engineered explosives and I just win on the game on the spot. So every deck has to have a combo now, pretty much, it seems like. But anyway, let's move on to standard. So those are the RCs. You can check out all the deck lists. I think the overall takeaway: modern, super diverse, but also very fast and unfair. So if you're playing some modern, be ready for those fast combo decks. Standard, though, I'm curious. I know you've all been playing standard. Richard, you've been playing. I've been playing. Chris's been playing. What do you guys think of Avatar format? Like, we just had Mannings. We got rid of the monster of the format and Izzet Cauldron. I was thinking maybe the format would feel a lot different speed-wise. It doesn't really feel much different to me. It's still a very fast, very powerful format. Although I will say Avatar has hit a huge impact. I know I've complained for some past sets of like sets not having a big enough impact. Avatar's went the other direction, where if you look at like the best performing decks, Avatar is all over the place, like making new archetypes, powering up old archetypes, bringing back some archetypes we haven't seen in a long time. But where are you guys at with Standard right now? What do you think of it?
I mean, I definitely am excited for the decks that Avatar's created, right? I liked Ouroboros, Ouroboroid, sorry, before.
God, I hate that
I loved it before, like it. Right? I was like, okay, this is a really good card. But in this format, it's like maybe the 10th best card, right? But after enough bannings, and I think now we're finally there where I think it's sitting at somewhere on the top. Right, because Badger Mole Cub probably plays into this, but seeing Azorius Tempo pop off, seeing Simic Aggro get even better, like these are really cool decks. I don't know. I think this set has had a lot of like play in current standard, and I'm just curious though, is it flavor of the week? We'll find out. The Bant combo deck I think is probably really good, but I think the real deck from Avatar has got to be Simic Aggro, or maybe even Azorius Tempo. I think these decks are really solid because Aang is such a powerful card also.
Aang is really good. I feel like Simic Aggro might be the best deck in standard. I know if you look on the metagame page, Demir is still technically like the highest metagame percentage, and Demir has looked good when I've played against it. Like, it is still a very powerful deck, but my god, that Simic deck is so good at spewing at hand so quickly. But Richard, you've been playing a lot. What's your initial impression of post-ban Avatar standard?
And then the Badger Moles attacked, Seth. It's just, in my opinion, it's whatever Badger Mole deck you want to bring to the table. Like, remember when they put Llanowar Elf into Foundations? They're like, ooh, like Llanowar Elf in Standard. That's a risky move. You want turn one Elf, and then what if we just added a card that just doubled your mana output from that turn one Elf? And then here we are, right? And we're kind of playing Commander now, where these cards that were previously too slow and too expensive to cast are now all game, right? And now you can just turn three, spend 10 mana, do whatever, like just go crazy and win the game. And I feel that's where standard currently is. I told you guys I was playing my firebending deck. Hilariously good against green, right? Because they don't have any interaction. So like you turn three, kill them all the time. But while playing ladder, right? Sometimes I don't get the turn three kill. and I'm playing no interaction because I'm just going all in canon. The opponent is just turn four killing me straight back, right? And I'm like, what is this? Like, all kinds of different nonsense. Like, all different decks can do this now. And I'm like, this is faster than old modern, right? Like, it's not just my, like, glass cannon deck. It's all these other decks can turn, like, three, four, five kill you, no problem, if you don't have the right hand. We're just super fast. And I was actually shocked, right? I'm like, wow, you just, like, just played a bunch of dirty dudes and just killed me like so fast, right? Like, it wasn't even like a dedicated combo, right? Like, I'm like, wow, like, what is going on? So I don't know how I feel about this. I feel we've gotten swingier and like on the play matters, right? Like,
oh,
like my opponent plays like two mana to draw a card. I'm like, oh, you're dead, right? I just play tap out simulator all day, right? You're like, oh, you tapped out because you're on the draw and you had to tap out. You're dead, right? Like, I don't know if I want standard to be like this. I wanted a little like toned down.
Yeah, I mean, standard also feels like kind of just a little Yu-Gi-Oh-ish to me at this point too. Like, maybe this is just where Magic is in general now. But I don't know. I posted a couple pictures in our Discord of just like a couple of draws that people have had with the Simic deck against me, and my first impression is just, it is probably not something you should be able to do in standard. Badger Mole Cub is a ridiculous card. And at first I was like, well, I think the Simic deck, maybe I'm just seeing the nut draw, right? Maybe they're just getting kind of lucky and like having the right cards to do this ridiculous, I got 10 creatures on turn three board. But then you play against them a few times because the deck's really popular, and it happens way more often than you think. The deck is like oddly consistent because you have essentially eight Llanowar Elves with Gene Polluter, and then you have Badger Mole Cub and Jackal or whatever the arena version is that like copies your stuff. So you have these two like absurd payoffs in the two drop slot. So you have this all this consistency, and then a Boroi just comes down to like close out the game. So I'm curious, what do we do against this deck? Like, I think that Simic is like, or Badger Mole Cub in specific, is enemy number one in standard. I'm trying to build my decks like specifically to try to have an answer to this. And because of how Earthbending works, a lot of the normal answers are not that good. Like, you play a Pinnacle Stargauge, and it's like, yeah, I guess I slowed them down, but they still get all their lands back. Like, even Day of Black Sun was one I was thinking of, but it's like double black and X, so by the time you can actually cast it X2, you need like four mana, which is kind of too slow sometimes. Plus, they're a blue deck, so they have like spider senses in the sideboards and repulsive munition. They have all these counters, so they can answer the answer. You got any ideas, Krim? Like, how do we fight against the Badger Mole Spew style decks?
Unfortunately, you have to, like, I think I missed Cutdown, right? Like, Cutdown, I think you need a little bit more, a few more cheap one-mana answers to really help with this. But Starcage is nice. Ultima just completely shuts off the Earthbending effect. But you gotta resolve the five mana sorcery, right? So, yeah. getting to resolve the five mana sorcery out of the sideboard is asking for a lot when you're playing a control deck. But if you do have enough of like just, I don't know, I've been playing as many like Jeskai control decks as I can that have just got like every way to deal damage for super dirt cheap. That has really helped. I've actually gone down on win conditions and just fully leaned in on more removal. And that's the way I've beaten it.
Imagine that.
I know. But like the Jeskai control deck actually has a lot of play there. I've really liked the Jeskai control deck, and it didn't really get any new cards. It's just always had like, you know, Lightning Helix, so it's nice to just have these cheap answers. But it's for the most part the exact same Jeskai control deck as it was. But it's really good.
So you think Control has a pretty reasonable matchup against those decks? Like, you can just answer enough of their, like, important early game threats and then eventually clean it all up with an Ultima or something? Is that the
yeah,
idea?
Between that and, like, Dimir, like, I've been playing that in Dimir, and it's just, like, 0 point Ballad, that sweeper that I've kind of made fun of for a while. I'm like, okay, I see why people play it, and I think I've had to go up to like three copies, a few more copies of Stab out of the sideboard, and then just really hope I hit one of these early, because then I get to sweep the whole board for pretty cheap. For like three mana, you clear their whole board for the most part, and all their clones and all that. Of course, you got to resolve it. But
what do you think, Richard?
Stun counters So I run into a lot of people playing stun cards, and I'm like, what is this? And it's to stun the lands. So you stun the lands, you effectively remove them without, you know, like having them come back due to earth bending.
Binding.
And then the better way is just go faster. Like modern. Right? Like mono red, like other combo decks. I mean, my win percentage against Simic is like astronomically high because they have no interaction and I play a glass cannon deck. I can't beat Demir for the life of me, but you know, Simic, no problem.
Simic's easy mode.
Simic, no problem, right? Firebending student goes ham, right? But it's just gotta be fast combo, right? Like, it's so. The problem is, like, the ground gets clogged up so fast, and because they're Simic, like, how are you going to resolve a sweeper, right? Like, you cannot, right? You need a, what is it, Supreme Verdict, but we don't have that, right? So, just go fast. So, it's like Vivi, right? How do you beat Vivi? You know, you just mono-red them to death, right? Like, you go faster, and then I think that's the plan, right? Because you will not always have one mana removal in your hand, and then you're just going to die on the spot if your plan is to remove, right? Are you going to mull to five to find your firebending lesson or whatever? Like, no, right? Like, what are you going to do, right? Like, it's rough.
Richard, fire magic. Vivi never truly left us, okay? As instant speed. Like, Pyroclasm is so good against them. I'm just saying. Like Fire Magic, I actually thought about it in Jeskai Control going up to, like, maybe two copies in the main. And it's been really solid. Fire Magic is the best way to do it right now.
But Krim, your buddy, the Tiger Seal is real.
Yo, dude, that card is
People just took the Isn't Shell and shove that thing in, and apparently it does so much work because it's the same Is It Shell, so you can draw two, but you can use it to harmonize. So it's just a dark ritual on top of that.
Yep.
And then so if they play a one mana 3/3 and you're sitting there with fire magic, you are so toast.
Yes.
Right?
Fire magic is real bad there. That is fair. Dude, Tiger Seal?
Yeah, that
card is so sick. I did not expect it to pop off to the level that it did. So my early iterations of that was wrong because I was playing the 3-mana looters, right? Like Kiora, Tursa, all of that.
Yeah.
But if you just trim all of that, and apparently people have started just playing this version where the creatures are mostly 2-mana, and dude, that Tiger Seal deck goes wild. It is so much fun. Boomerang basics, bouncing your own stuff back, and then drawing a card. Like, yeah, that all of that plus a Frostcliff Siege has just been popping up everywhere. Dude, this looting deck is so real. Imagine if we still had Prof's Eidetic Memory.
Oh, yeah, and Vivi. Why don't you throw in Vivi, dude, for the fun of it?
Would Vivi be a problem? I don't know, right? With Badger Bowl Cub, like, maybe it's a fair fighting ground now.
I guess that's true. Maybe that's what they were going for. I will say Tiger Seal's been better than I expected it to be. Like, I kind of laughed at that card because, like, can you really draw cards enough to keep it turned on? But it turns out that you can, and if you can, it's actually really, really good. I did want to mention one more Earthbending thing. Clarion Conqueror is, like, my hot new tech I've been using. The 3-mana 3/3 fire that says activated abilities on artifacts, creatures, and planeswalkers can't be activated, and there's no exception for mana abilities. Ooh. So if you can just stick that, all the Earthbending lands don't make mana, and all the elves don't make mana. You can still lose to Boroid if they manage to get it down through the taxing. But I think that's one of the better answers. The Isid deck's really interesting to me, and I think what maybe caught me by the most surprise is if you look at some of the recent events we've had, the number one card, not even number one avatar card, but the number one most played card, Boomerang Basics. Like, Boomerang Basics has been a huge deal, and it's just a 1-mana sorcery lesson that bounces a non-land permanent, but if it's your thing, you bounce you get to draw a card as well. And this has brought back, like, the self-bounce archetypes. We see it being the big engine of the Tiger Seal decks, right? Where you're able to, like, Storm Chaser, Stalent, and then you just Boomerang Basics, you draw a card, you untap your Tiger Seal, you play it again to get another token. What do you think of Boomerang Basics? Like, this card is actually really strong, isn't it?
The drawing an additional card is pretty nice.
It's so good.
I was pretty low on this to begin with because I was like, oh, it's not instant speed. What are you talking about? But Yeah, and I guess I was thinking too control-minded there. What I needed to think of was in the lens of just self-bounce, because I think in one of our discussions, Seth, I told you in any format, I feel like Cosmogrand Zenith and like a self-bounce yep. deck should be very good, right? Like, this card is very strong. And now mm-hmm. now I think we're seeing the return of self-bounce, like whether it's Esper or whatever, with four Cosmogrands at a full play set of that, and of course this card. So maybe this is it. This is what helps the deck pop off again, because without this town ain't big enough, you know, yada yada yada. Maybe it's back.
It might be back. And it's funny to see, like, those decks, even the Izzet deck, if it's cutting Flood Maws and just using the Boomerang basics is, like, bad Flood Maw, but also a combo piece for my deck. So Flood Maw, I think, is, like, trending down.
Which is
like,
wild.
It's still really good, but you're just not seeing it in main decks because Boomerang basics has taken over. What do you think of the self-bounce shenanigans, Richard? Are these real?
You were right, Seth. You said it was good. We were like, it's sorcery speed, but they were just bouncing their own stuff anyway, yeah. So they didn't care. But I mean, just otter, bounce, make another otter.
Well,
good enough.
No,
like,
Richard.
Oh, I'm still behind now, right?
Cryogen Relic self-bounce. That bad boy. Draw two cards.
That's so slow. That's so slow.
No, that's a what, sorcery speed AV right there, or whatever.
It's still a good tempo play, right? Like,
yeah.
you just do it on your opponent at sorcery speed. It's still one mana for their whatever, right? So I think it's a real card. I think we're going to see a lot of Boomerang basics going forward as well.
I was going to ask you, Seth, because I know a lot of people played it in early access and whatnot, and I wasn't here to talk about it, but like, you all probably saw the Teemer Lessons deck. Yep. What do y'all think of that deck? Like, because I mean, I thought it was cute on day zero, right? Day -3 or whatever. It was very cute, but it kind of does nothing.
I don't know. Like, I still think it could be good. So it doesn't have that many tournament results, right? Like, we're not seeing the lesson deck pop up 5-0ing leagues and like so forth. So I guess that's a vote against it. I still see people playing it on the ladder. And I think it really depends on the matchup. It's super interactive. So if you're playing, like I was playing a Firebending student deck like Richard's been playing, and Lessons is one of the matches I want to see, like absolutely the least, because so many of the Lessons just happen to be instant speed removal and they just leave their mana up because they cast everything at instant speed anyway. So with some decks, I feel like I cannot beat that. I played on stream last week a Teemer Lesson deck that was the infinite combo deck. I realized if you have artist talent leveled up, you can cast all your Lessons for free from the graveyard with Iru, and you can actually like storm off and win that way. So I think there's still potential for Lessons, but I will say they've fallen behind like some of the other new archetypes as far as like immediate results. But Richard, what's your impression of Lessons?
So I haven't seen it for reals, but during early access, it was a lot better than I thought, because you just go firebending lesson, anticipate, but it's Ancestral Recall now. And then like you can't like get out from it. But that's so slow in the face of Badger Mole Cub. No. So I don't know that going long is the right strategy. But Ancestral Recall works. And Firebending Lesson is a real card. The question is, what other lessons are you going to add to make? I think it starts falling off like pretty quickly. But those two, enough. I don't know about like adding Iroh and like adding all those other random cards. But I think if you just play a control deck and have like 12 lessons, like, is it good enough? I'm not sure.
I think that might be the way forward, right? Like, you play, like, just, like you said, maybe three different lessons that work with the control plan. Firebending Lesson, Combustion Technique, and the Ancestor Recall, maybe. And then just build a normal control deck. So I still think these cards are going to be legal for 3 more years or something. So I wouldn't be surprised
and if Strixhaven.
But someone figures out how to make it work eventually. And actually, do you think they're going to print learn cards? After playing with the lessons, I've become less and less convinced that they're actually going to bring back learn, because I feel like these lessons are just too... I feel like if they did bring back learn, every sideboard is just going to be a lesson board, because like these are so much more efficient than last time we had lessons. So I'm almost a little skeptical that they actually bring back learn in Strixhaven now.
I mean, Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see Learn return,
it would
I guess.
Be sweet.
But I don't know. Because Divide by Zero was way too strong, right? Like, at that yes. time. And I don't know. Like, would Divide by Zero still be busted now?
Or
like,
no. Kind of feels... I couldn't... There's no way, right? Yeah. There's no... The format's so fast. I can't imagine it still... It's three mana.
Yeah, I feel like maybe. Divide by Zero is, like, terrible today, right? Like, it's like, this is a card that was banned, right? But I feel like... I think they could bring it back. I think they could bring it back, right? Lessons, learn, all of that. I think the value's cute, but, like, you got to be able to deal with the aggression, the Badger Bowl Cubs, all of this. And if you're trying to do this value game, yeah, I don't see why they couldn't bring it back.
Yeah, maybe they will. You think they'll bring it back, Richard?
No. Clearly, these cards were not designed for that. Like... When they made the original mechanic, all the cards were, like, overcosted, and even then they saw play. But now these cards are actually quite efficient, so I don't think they would bring them back. Or if they would bring it back in a card that, like, really sucked, right? Such that you wouldn't want to play it, right? But I don't think they'd give you an efficient card to play with these efficient lessons.
I was talking to someone on social media about that, and, like, they brought up that point. Well, we could just do it the opposite way, right? Maybe they make the learn cards overcosted this time, and the lessons are efficient. So I guess they could theoretically do it that way. But I don't know if you want to go back to Strixhaven and print a bunch of learn cards that obviously look underpowered on the justification that, oh, like, 6 months ago we printed a set that'll make them good, because it'll just, like, look bad to casuals when they're opening the pack. So I guess we'll see what happens with Strixhaven. As far as the rest of the standard decks, I got to ask you guys about the combo deck. So I know as soon as I played this on Early Access Day, I was really high on it. I made a video of it, the Airbending combo deck, but I wasn't sure because it's Early Access Day, right? Like, how much weight do you put on a deck doing well during Early Access Day? But now that we have, like, a week of results, there are a bunch of results for the Airbending combo deck. People are still, like, evolving it, figuring out the best way to do it. We see a lot of Bramble Familiars now as a way to dig for your combo pieces, and people are optimizing it. But it's got a bunch of 5-0s. It's got some actual, like, challenge finishes. Do you think that deck's real? Is this, like, our new Splinter Twin? Is the, like, in the sense that it's, like, a deck that can play the fair game plan, but also has this, like, potential turn 4 infinite combo. What do you think of that deck, Grim?
I think this deck is real. And I think this deck has got a lot. It's because Aang, again, Swift Savior Aang. I realize I've just been saying Aang, and there's, like, five.
which one is Swift Savior, Krim?
the blue-white one. That's pretty much Spellqueller, too.
The 2-3 flash thing?
Yeah. That one, flash, coming down and being able to airbend up to one creature or a spell, like a creature that's already hit the board or a spell on the stack. This has been so strong for me. Every time I've played with this card, I feel like this Aang is, like, the super beefed up Spellqueller. And it not being legend or it being legendary has not mattered at all. I really like this card. And then you have Appa, which is really good in this deck, and airbending as a mechanic has just been absurdly strong. So I think this deck has a lot of play, and it's a creature deck that has creatures that do a little bit more, right? It's creatures plus. And I really, really like Aang. So I think that and, like, the Avant Interrupter kind of gives them the counter tempo magic they need to buy their way into, like, the big play.
Yeah, I think the deck actually has potential to be really good. My build, I was missing something, though, which was Badger Mole Cub. Apparently, just no matter what you're trying to do, you should play Badger Mole Cub, and it's going to make your deck better, because the versions that are 5-0-ing are, like, playing the Badger Mole Cub to speed things up. But I think the deck actually is, like, kind of legit. Have you played against it at all yet, Richard? Have you seen this combo pop off? Or you probably just killed them before they got a chance to do their thing.
I don't even know what this deck is. I mean, I saw the results, but I don't actually know how the combo actually works, but you lost me at Badger Mole Cub. It's like I have this new commander deck, Seth. It's so sweet. First, you cast Underworld Breach, right? You're like, oh, okay. Right? Like, yeah, once you have, like, infinite mana ahead of your opponent, you can win the game. Okay, right? Like, so, I mean, it's going to be what is the best Badger Mole Cub shell, right? Is it this Bant combo deck? Is it a Simic shell? Spoiler alert, Simic is within Bant.
That's probably Simic.
They just added one more color, right? But, you know, like, you know, what, like, when Vivi came out, you're like, what is the Vivi shell, you know? And before we settled on the current is it version. So I don't know. But I did see a lot of challenge finishes, and usually challenge finishes don't go away. Like, even if that deck is not like tier one, it's usually floating around tier 1.5, tier 2 or something, right? So
yeah,
the fact that it's not just 5-0 leagues, but challenge results and wins means it's probably a real deck going forward.
Yeah. And Bedrumal Cub, I think, is a real card. Like, it was, it saw pretty heavy play yesterday in Modern, in Yawgmoth decks. I know Joe, who does the Eternal stuff on the site, his article this week is about Bedrumal Cub in Legacy and how it's, like, really good in the Gaia's Cradle, like, control deck there. So I think that card's proven itself to absolutely be the truth. One more deck I got to ask you about in Standard, because this is one of my personal favorites. It does have some results. I also played it during Early Access, and it felt good there. What about Allies? We've seen some, like, results of four or five color Allies where you just, like, dump your hand. You have the Haste Ally, so you can, like, swing in and, like, close out the game right away. I'm sure that your decks crush it, Krim, because they're just playing a bunch of creatures. So if you're playing your control deck, you're probably not losing to Allies. But if you're not, Krim, do you think that deck is good? Like, do you think Allies is actually going to be a tier deck in Standard?
I think Allies is, like, cute right now. It's like, fun. It's very fun.
It's cute.
What does it do?
Good vibes. Good vibes. Good vibes.
What's the two drop? What do you play? What's the perfect ally?
The Great Divide guy.
Yeah.
Right.
The
Mana Dork guy. Okay. Yeah. And then what do you do after the Mana Dork guy?
Oh.
Play more allies.
Yeah. The four haste that gives your other allies haste. Is that what we're doing? What is the power curve for allies?
So your actual best draw, I think, is you start with the one mana protection thing where you can sack it to give an ally protection into the Great Divide Guide and then into the haste thing. So all your stuff comes down with +1/+1 in haste, and then you tap all your creatures for mana. So then you just spew out Aangs and whatever random allies and they all haste in and you try to attack and win. Like, it can win.
Which
Aang
are we
guy's
talking
really good
about?
For card draw.
Swift Savior.
So mostly the Krim Aang.
Is it
the Swift Savior's the big
one. The 5-mana 4/4 that plays one from the top? That one?
Oh,
that one also sees play. But yeah, the 3-mana and 5-mana ones see play. The 4-mana one doesn't really see play.
Why would you spew out the 3-mana one? That's a reactive spell, but okay. Anyway.
Oh, that's your defense. That's your defense. That happens to be the right creature type. Yeah.
Okay. It seems a little too fair, but I don't know. Yeah. How fast can it kill? That seems like a turn 5 or 6 kill without interaction.
With
Great
Divide Guide, it gets pretty wild, actually. Like, just all your creatures being Birds of Paradise can really speed it up. So with a good draw, I think they can kill on turn 4. But that does require, like, sticking a Great Divide Guide and, like, having a good draw. So you're not always going to do it. Do you think it's
the deck,
like,
without Great Divide Guide?
Oh, so clunky.
It gets real rough.
It's clunky. Oh, yeah. It is so clunky.
Wait, but what if we added Badgerbowl Cub to the deck?
Oh,
wait a minute now. Wait
Great
a minute.
Great Divide Guys, it's just Badgerbowl Cub at home.
Oh, you actually might not be wrong, though, because then if you have Great Divide Guide, all your allies will tap for 2 mana. You will actually really pop off. I've seen people playing Badgerbowl Cub with... What's the green Enduring Vitality?
Oh,
is that the one they play
in
the Otter combo deck? So just all your stuff taps for 2 mana. You can do so many things with that card.
Badgermole has single-handedly brought back and made that Golgari creature combo, the one that uses the Tarkir spell. The Tarkir spell that looks through your whole deck. It's an X spell. It gets a bunch of creatures.
Looks through your whole... Wait, Genesis Wave?
No.
Genesis Wave? What are we talking about?
Oh, man. I got to remember it. It tutors through your deck for creatures, and then it has Harmonize.
Oh, Nature's Rhythm whatever.
Yeah, Nature's
like,
Rhythm
the Green Sun Zenith
like
style
that.
Effect, right?
Yeah. It's out there just getting Green Sun Zenith and all of this stuff, and you're just kind of just digging through your deck with a ton of mana.
Yeah. No, the card is still... Do you think the card... Do you think it's a mistake card?
Say it.
My gut instinct is 6 months from now, we're going to get an apology article that's like, oh, we didn't test this with this. And, you know, guys, we should have done that differently.
Lawnmower Elf and Tentadrill come. Who would have seen it coming?
We didn't think about playing in Lawnmower Elf decks. We were mostly focused on Earthbending decks. Something along those lines. I think there's a chance we're getting one of those in 6 months. But
I think in their mind, this card probably wasn't problematic because there was still a VV meta or something like that, right?
That might also be true. And like, green has sucked. If they were going to print something really powerful, I think green is probably the color that you would want to print something really powerful into Standard. So I think it, like, in some ways was a good risk. Maybe it'll be fine. Like, this is week one, right? Like, it's week one of the format. We're already talking about answers of how you can try to adjust to it. But I do think that it is definitely one of the best cards in Standard right now. Like, I think it has immediately jumped to the top of the list of best creatures in Standard. And I think it's going to have a big impact. Hopefully, the meta can adjust and figure out how to slow it down a little bit. But yeah, I think it might be a mistake card. It's on the borderline for me.
I'm skeptical because, like, you just pair it with something else. Like, it requires no synergy, really, right? You're playing Mana Dork into Badgermole Cub, all within the same color. So whatever answers this or whatever's good, you just play it too, right? So you might become a Celestia deck, you might become a Simic deck or whatever, but, like, it's not, like, at least VV was two colors. You couldn't, like, you know, it was harder to go Jeskai VV or something, you know what I mean? But because anyone can just play Badgermole, like, the package is like Mana Dork and Badgermole Cub, choose your next color, right? I feel that's what's going to happen, because who's gonna compete with all this extra mana you're making, right? Like, it's just too much. And so everyone would just take it and then put it into their shell. And then you might, in the perfect world, you might have, like, four tier one decks that are different Badgermole Cub deck. Well, you know, different, like, a Simic deck, a Celestia deck.
Simic.
Yeah, right? Like, something like that, right? Like, remember when black was king in Standard? And, like, which Invoke Despair deck did you want to play? Mono black, Dimir, or Rakdos? Right? Like, that was the thing, right? So I feel we're headed there, but it's early. Maybe we can adjust. But I so much mana.
I kind of like some, like, I think I'm going to get sick of it, and I hate the Simic deck already, but I will say, as soon as I, like, realized how good Badgermole Cub was, my first thought was, okay, I got to go through all, like, the 5 and 6 drops in Standard and see what the most fun thing I can actually play off this on turn 3, and I ended up building, like, a doubling season Liliana deck with the Liliana they reprint in Foundations, where if you ultimate right away, you make your opponent sack all their permanents, and the deck kind of, like, is not super good, but Badgermole Cub is so busted, it's still winning, like, more than 50% of the time, and it's like 4 Vivians, 4 6 mana Verascas for doubling seasons, and Badgermole Cub's just so insane that it even kind of makes that work. So maybe there's some upside to just making 6 mana on turn 3 consistently. Maybe that's what Standard should be about.
I think that's what it had to be for green to be relevant.
What about decks, like, a couple of decks I wanted to mention that I think have, like, trended down, maybe. Omniscience, I really haven't seen much since we got Avatar cards. And I feel like the Reanimator deck, I've seen it, but I feel like it's getting maybe a little bit worse. I feel like the Reanimator deck might be a bit slow. And Foggy Swamp Visions is a hilarious sideboard tech piece for the Reanimator deck. I've been playing a couple of my sideboards just to like do the reverse, and you just reanimate their combo before they do, and it exiles all the stuff from the graveyard. But what do you think about those decks? Are they still going to be a main part of the meta?
It's so funny to hear that, but I do think maybe the Reanimator deck, the whole Living End deck, might be a turn too slow. It is so
wild.
But, like, if they pack enough interaction to just, like, maybe squeak out to turn 4, I think they could maybe get by, right?
Because the Bringer's good, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is the reset of the board. So if you do live long enough, it's still good.
Yeah, I will see how the meta adapts, because right now, I think something's got to go, right? So people will probably trim a little bit of graveyard hate at some point, and then all of a sudden, you know, the deck's not respected, and then it just wins the game out of nowhere.
I mean, that's the living end way, right? That's how it worked in modern for years and years, that like when people respect it, the deck isn't that good. But then when people don't respect it, you can come up and win a tournament with the deck. So maybe that's a good place for it to be. Like if you respect it, it's fine. And if you don't, it's going to get you.
Yeah, you just got to sit and wait. You just got to sit and wait, bide your time, and then eventually everyone will be so focused on Badger Bowl Cub and stuff like that. Clarion Conqueror or some form of graveyard hate? Well, I'll probably just play the Clarion Conqueror.
I wouldn't count these old decks out. Like, it's week one. Everyone's playing the new stuff. Soon enough, everyone will go back to their Bounce decks and their Demir decks and their Omniscience decks and stuff if they're, like, actually still good. So right now, everyone's playing with the new toys. I don't think those decks got any new toys, right? Like, Omniscience is still Omniscience. It doesn't really have any new avatar cards. So there's no incentive for people to play it right now until, like, the serious playing starts, and then they'll start playing it again if it's still good. So I don't know. Being, like, one turn slow isn't the end of the world. Right, you can kind of fix that. You're still an unfair combo deck. You can still get people. So I'll wait to reserve. I am hesitant. Like, everyone always declares Dredge dead, Living End dead, right? But they always come back, right? They always come back. So we'll see how it goes. But it's still the same deck. It still exists. It's still fast. And if everyone's using their sideboard slots for Badger Mole Cub, then look out.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, because I believe we have Worlds coming up in a couple of weeks, which is going to be standard. So it'll be interesting to see what that meta looks like, because we are in the very early stages. I just got to say, overall, though, I'm just happy to see a set making such a big impact. Like, after feeling like a lot of recent sets didn't have that much of an impact on standard, and I don't know if it's like the combination of the set and also having the bannings at the same time, maybe that's part of why it's feeling like it's such a big shakeup. But compared to a lot of previous sets, I feel like Avatars just had a really huge impact, and that makes me happy. Yeah, some of the stuff might be even a little bit too good. We'll have to wait and see. But it's nice to see a new set come out and actually shake up the meta and actually make a bunch of new archetypes. And I think that's what we're seeing with Avatar. Like, I wish every set was that way. Like, that's my perfect world, is every set is having this level of impact. So it's nice to see it happen for once.
You can just name Spider-Man, Seth.
No, really, though. Like, Spider-Man, but also, like, Edge of Eternities didn't shake up the meta. Aether Drift. Like, a lot of the sets in the past year, I came away when we're doing these podcasts being like, I wish it was doing more. And Crim's there, like, but they added that removal spell to Demir, and it feels so new to me. And I'm like, no, that doesn't feel new to me. But yeah, like, so yeah, Spider-Man was even worse, but a lot of recent sets haven't had that big of an impact, I would say.
I mean, you okay. First off, in defense of Spider-Man, Jackal is there.
Jackal is part of that Simic deck. My God.
Multiversal Passage, like Superior Spider-Man. These are all cards that are in the meta.
That is also Multiversal Passage. So much stuff.
I don't understand. What? Okay. I get it. I get it, though. I mean, I thought all of those sets brought a lot to Standard. It's just that Avatar, like, kind of also brought way more than the usual, right? So, like, that's fair. Like, I do think that Avatar has brought a lot of cards. Maybe an alarming amount, and it could just be week one. Let's see what happens after Worlds. But as of right now, I do like that it's brought a lot of cards.
Well, yeah. What does this mean? The Lorwyn Eclipse is going to power creep Badger Mole Cub, or we're not going to see any Lorwyn at all? like, this is the problem, right?
We need to end up, and I don't know if they can do this. I don't know if it's even possible to do in Magic, especially with 6 or 7 sets a year. But what I want, Richard, is like your One Piece thing, where I remember you telling me how like a set comes out and there's like a deck from that set and that competes against the decks from other sets. So I'm hoping that we'll have something like that, where you get 1 or 2 really cool decks out of Avatar and then 1 or 2 really cool decks out of Lorwyn. And we end up with this standard where they all kind of like battle each other out. So maybe that's our best way to forward from here. Like, do you think that's possible?
We need to leader lock Badger Bowl Cub. The problem is everyone will just adopt the Cub. The problem with Magic is once there's something super strong, all decks can play it, because all decks can just splash the color or add the color or whatever if it's sufficiently strong. So I don't know. Maybe, but like, if it's a green Lorwyn deck, better believe Badger Mole Cub is in it, right? And is it still a Lorwyn deck, right? So we'll see how they handle this. And like Star Trek, what are they going to do? Just not sell any cards? Like, it has to power creep it as well, right? So I don't know how they're going to do this. It'll be interesting, but the clear increase in power has made for a very exciting standard, but how can they keep it going? How can they keep it going, right?
Yeah. I mean, exciting and also kind of scary.
I almost don't, I worry that the constant increase in power, whereas I would rather them slightly just let it drift off, right? The power teeters off and you get like this mid, like kind of like lower power standard.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say though, my favorite set still killing it. Duskmourn. When like Duskmourn is still a house, and that is literal. But also on top of that, it's a very good set. We've still like right. I still recommend everyone craft from Duskmourn. If you were to get into standard, right? If you were like trying to just build cards, buy cards, craft, whatever. Duskmourn has the most standard stuff.
I would say Duskmourn, Bloomborough would be the two that would stick out just without like really thinking it through super hard. Those two I think stick out as being like maybe the two most impactful sets in standard right now. But yeah, Duskmourn's still really, really good. I guess we'll see. I also would prefer, I guess, lower-powered standard overall. Like, I'm a little worried that the power level's getting too high, but I am excited to see new cards doing stuff. So I may be a little mixed there. I gotta ask you guys, they did on Arena, what do you think of this? So they updated the Golden Packs. If you don't know Golden Packs, if you buy 10 normal packs, they give you a Golden Pack that's full of all the really cool stuff, and it was a way to make the economy better. But they announced this Golden Pack update that says, we have an update to what's in Golden Packs and what they'll look like from November 18th until January 19th due to various pieces of internal nonsense that we don't want to bore you with. They'll return to normal on January 20th with the release of Lorwyn Eclipsed. We apologize for the nonsense. And the end result of this, from what I can tell, is they basically took Final Fantasy cards out of them, so you can't get Final Fantasy cards from your Golden Packs. The sets are Through the Omen Pass, Edge of Eternities, Tarkir Dragonstorm, Foundations, Duskmourn, Bloomborough. Why? What? I don't understand. Do you guys have any idea? Like, the way they wrote that is just so weird about internal nonsense. Is this a licensing thing? It seems like most of the community has coalesced around. There must be some licensing thing where they can't have, like, two different sets, like your Avatar Golden Packs giving out Final Fantasy cards or something. I don't know. What do you make of this nerfing of the Golden Packs?
That sounds like 100% it, right? Right? Like
I mean, it would make sense.
Well, what kind of licensing issue would this be? Final Fantasy's like, yo, I don't like Avatar. You can't put us in Avatar.
It could be. Because like some companies like, oh, I don't want to see X character to appear alongside anything else, right? Like, if I open an Avatar Golden Pack, you know, why is Cloud popping off in there, right? I could see that happening.
But why would it return in January, though? That's what doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, like, maybe if that was the thing, it would be forever, right? But it's going back in January?
That's fair.
Yeah, So I think that's the release of the next set. So that would be Lorwyn. So an in-universe set rather than an out-of-universe set. I don't know. People are guessing at that. It does make the packs a little worse. The other thing people are mad about is one of your rare mythic slots is locked into being a Through the Omen Pass card, which people are like, I don't know if I want one of those every golden pack. But yeah, so I think it's a slight nerf is where the community landed overall on that. One last thing to bring up, and this one's for you, Krim, because I know I saw you did a short about this. Monster Hunter Super Lair, Secret Lair Drop. People seem kind of hyped. I don't even know what Monster Hunter is. Apparently it's a video game of some kind. Tell me about the Secret Lair Drop, Grim. What do you think of it? Is it a good one?
No. Like, flat out, no.
Wow.
Krim isn't sold out
Krim
on this
already? Like a Secret Lair Drop? What?
So, okay. So
the cards are pretty bad, Seth. Have you seen them?
Yeah, no, they are pretty bad.
I think the problem here is what's killing it for me is the wasted potential. Right, I think that of the sets and of all the IPs that we could be thrown into the game, I think Monster Hunter is the one that easily just goes right into Magic. Right, you could have brought back enchantments.
Looks like Ikoria.
Yeah. It's a little. it's got that too, but you could bring back the enchantment classes, right, to then represent all the classes. What is this drop? I am personally upset with this drop only because it's. This is such a fun franchise that I think deserved unique cards. I will trade off Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, all of these other like games that we just got coming into Magic, right? All the whole PlayStation bundle to get unique cards in this one. Now, I do actually think that some of it is fine. I love it for the art. I think the art is beautiful. I love, you know, seeing the like the Nergigante, seeing the Nargacuga. All of these cards look awesome to me. The monster drop is cool, but the problem I have is the players or the hunters drop with a bunch of humans that don't represent the class at all. The spells. Like, I get it. They're kind of like trying to represent the mechanics or a certain monster's move or something like that. But I feel like all of them are pretty generic and just like lackluster in that department as well. So the only thing that I want from this drop is just the creatures, because they're the reskins and like they look cool and like it'll make me want to play with a Dracuseth. But in reality, the biggest thing is this is the franchise that you could have easily done a whole set on. And or at least brought me one unique card. One. I will take one per drop. But somehow they chose to do none of that. And I don't know. It feels kind of a bummer, right? Like one of my favorite monsters, the Magna Mallow, is down to just a Deadly Rites song. Or a Deadly Rites, like, reskin card. I'm like, dude, what? No. This is so ass. Hold on.
What? What if it was a better card, though? Because I'm not a big fan of unique cards and secret lair drops for, like, other reasons. Like, is the problem that it's not a unique card? Or is it the problem that the card that they put it on is just not that playable? Like, Village Rites is, like, kind of pretty fringy, right? Like, even a lot of my Sack decks in Commander, there's just better options now. So I often don't even play Village Rites. Like, shouldn't they put it on something a little more playable, maybe?
It's look, if you want to give me a bunch of unplayable reprints, but you give me the sickest art, you know, maybe sure. So, like that's fine in some departments because I care about the art. I think art has a lot of value to it. But from a gameplay perspective, I think that Magna Mallows are just totally disrespected by being just this random draw spell. And I don't know. This is one of those ones where it wouldn't have mattered. I think the main thing here is I was going to be kind of saddened by this because there's no new cards. There's no exclusive to the secret lair card. And I think of the ones that we've gotten, this is the set that deserves it. I don't know. I'd rather that than, I guess, what are the, I don't even remember. God of War? I hated God of War. But like,
what a hater.
I thought God of War was a boring game. I'm sorry. Hack and slash, wow, get out of here.
I didn't know there were any IPs you didn't like, Griff.
Oh, no. I like a lot. It's just, this is one of those ones that I just felt like was wasted potential. I'm sorry. I hope that this, when it comes out, I hope all the feedback gets back to them and that I hope that this isn't a takeaway that, you know, people don't want this. I think that it's more of just, people will want to play this set and be a part of this world when it's done right. And I think this was just totally, I'm going to throw a Rathalos on something and then call it a day.
So Monster Hunter, good choice for
Universes
Beyond, but not executed as well as you would have liked.
No.
Yeah. What do you think, Richard? Are you picking these up? Are you a Monster Hunter fan?
There's not even the cutest thing ever in Palicos. Those aren't even represented anywhere. Those better be the secret cards.
I am shocked at how many games Krim play. Like, Monster Hunter is like an MMO level game, right? Like, you cannot play, like how do you have time to play 10 of these? How can you play WoW, Final Fantasy, Monster Hunter? So I know of Monster Hunter, but I never had the time to play it. Like, I just played... Wow, like 20 hours or something of like the PSP game or something, but the cards they reskinned just sucked. Like that, like that's the biggest complaint everyone has, right? So, like, there's no value, there's no interesting cards, so people just don't like it. I think that's the biggest gripe. Like, people seem to like the Office Secret Lair more than the Monster Hunter Secret Lair, right? Because there's just more playable cards, right? So, it's weird. And I'm just going to be that guy and say I actually hate reskins altogether. Like, I hate it when they take a card and rename it. Like, if you want to take Swords to Plowshares and throw some person on it, great. But I hate it when they, like, give it a new name and they're like, oh, but it's actually Swords to Plowshares. Like, no, it's just Swords to Plowshares. You can put the character art on it if you want. And doubly so for, like, legendary creatures, where it's like, this is blah, blah, blah. But no, actually, it's another person's name. I hate that so much. So I'm all for alternate arts of existing cards and unique cards. But I hate reskins. I hate reskins so much.
the two names is kind of odd. I mean, it's the Through the Omen Pass problem, but like with Secret Lair is like cards just having two names is just kind of inelegant. The one thing
all
I'd
it means
say,
is the flavor didn't match, right? If you cannot call the card Swords to Plowshares, like the only exception I will give you is the Shield of War and Peace. Okay, fine. You can do
close
that
enough.
One. Okay,
that
but
was
like the card doesn't match. You had to rename it to give it the flavor, yeah. Right? So I feel that's wrong, right? You should just find cards that match already. Like Secret Rendezvous in Final Fantasy, that's the perfect like way to do the alt art, right? Versus like just renaming it to something.
I think this is because we've now had Universes Beyond, right? Because a couple years back, we were fine. I think we were fine with it, right? Godzilla treatment, yeah. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
But nowadays, if we're going to welcome other IPs, then you may as well just call it whatever it is. Right, like, and just make a new card for it. So I actually agree with Richard. I don't know if I like reskins as much anymore. Like, I'm down with you giving the same card and, like, maybe with a new art, like he had mentioned, with, like, Secret Rendezvous or something like that. But I don't know. Maybe reskins are kind of whack.
I could get behind that if we had some actual solid plan for being able to reprint them, because that's just always my sticking point when it comes to these exclusive secret layer drop cards and doing more of them. So if you want to go that direction, fine. I guess it makes sense because I kind of don't like the multiple names as well. But I would want to know that we actually had, like, if it gets way too expensive, we do have an easy way to, like, reprint those. So I feel like that problem would have to be solved first. The only other thing I'd say in these layer drops is, even if you're not going to print valuable cards, which I get it, they want the IP to sell, not like the value of the cards to sell, but at least print like playable cards. Because I don't really see what the point is of putting really cool art from a character someone really likes on a card that isn't like Mizzium Mortars. Just like, it's not standard from a decade ago. No one plays it in Commander. Like, if that's your favorite character, what are you going to do with it? Like, there's just not a place you can put it in, unless you're going to play Suboptimal just to play the art, which I guess is fine if you want to go that direction. But even if you don't want to add more valuable cards, wouldn't like a Blast Act be better than a Mizzium Mortars just so you could actually put it in your Commander deck?
Do we need another Arcane Signet? I would take the 18th Blast Act, Richard. I would
need another Command Tower. Every secret lair is a Soul Ring, Arcane Signet, Command Tower.
Blast
Act. Is that what you want?
They are giving away Soul Rings with those Monster Hunter layer drops, by the way, promos.
I gotta say that I understand the attempt here on where the Soul Ring is in this. It's like, okay, this dragon, this dino, like, it stores up power, all of it, but, like, it's not a good Soul Ring. Like,
it doesn't look like a Soul Ring to me, yeah.
Dude, I would have just taken the dongo making scene with a bunch of cats as a Soul Ring. I would have, like, at that point, if you're gonna go that abstract, like, why not, right? Like, but, another thing that now I'm thinking about because we brought up the secret lair, and I had just forgotten about it, is that, oh, dude, they could have totally had weapons. They could have just made exclusive, like, equipment, right? Like, one equipment for each drop, and then base each drop around the class. God, dude,
Grim, you know what you need to do if you want a full set? You need to buy 10 copies of the secret lair, right? They got to see the secret lair sell through the roof, and they're like, oh, we got to get the IP for a full set.
I will buy the monster one. And that I will attempt to buy the monster one, and then that is it for me.
I imagine too. Part of the upside for Wizards is reskins got to be easy, right? Like, you don't have to have someone design a brand new card. You can just use an existing one and have an artist put art on it. So maybe that's part of the reason that Wizards likes the reskins, since it's kind of like easy mode. But anyway, we're running along today. I want to sneak in one fish mail, though. This one's for you, Richard, and I'm actually kind of curious on this one myself. It comes from The Only Way on Twitter, at The Only Way. It says, how many hours per week does Richard spend maintaining the website code? MTG fish mail. I'm actually curious, how hard is it to keep the goldfish ship running, Richard? I know sometimes we're talking, you're like, oh my God, the site just crashed, someone did this, and now the site's not working. How much of a hassle actually is it?
Oh, it would make Wizards look like a well-oiled machine, Seth. It's not too bad now. I mean, sometimes it just like is falling apart for no reason, but other times it's just working on new stuff, working on like behind-the-scenes stuff. But it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Oh,
but
okay,
but sometimes the site goes down randomly. You may not notice it, but I do, right? It's mostly trying to add new stuff, though. And then the struggle with the Wizards catalog. Like, there's no way, like, any LGS can keep up with any of this. Like, the amount of new cards and the, like, how they're named and the rules and all that stuff, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone manages to do that at this point, so. Interesting. Well, only way, thanks for sending in the fish mail. Richard, how do people send in more fish mail for the future?
Hit us up at MTGGoldfish with the hashtag MTGFishMail, and we'll get to your questions on air.
And I believe that brings us to the end of episode 563 of the MTG Goldfish podcast. So, Richard Grimm, thanks for hanging out. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. And we'll be back next week to talk about whatever goes on in the world of Magic. So, until then, have an amazing week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.